The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord. No such thing will ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord. We have a lot of dichotomies the past couple of weekends, and so we want to definitely see this particular passage in light of the passage that we had last weekend. These two passages that both have Peter as a central character with Jesus, they kind of play off of each other, and Matthew, who is the writer of our gospel that we're going through this year, he has them intentionally right next to one another. And it kind of helps give us a little bit of context and understanding in a lot of ways for a lot of things. Last week in the gospel passage, Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" First says, "Who do the people say that I am?" Then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And then, you know, they give different answers. And Peter himself says, at that time his name's not even Peter, he says, "You are the Son of God." And then Jesus says to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." And so Peter is a vessel for revelation of God. God the Father is speaking through Peter in that moment. And now here, today, one passage later, Jesus calls Peter Satan. He calls him the most ardent opposition enemy of God, Satan. He says Satan. The word Satan actually translates to that word Satan is stumbling block. That's what that means. And so here, Peter is capable of both being a vessel for God and being a vessel for Satan, for the devil, for the enemy of our human nature. And of course, one takeaway from this is that we're all capable of being vessels for good, for evil, for God, for Satan. Saint Ignatius of Loyola talks about this understanding of where our thoughts, feelings, and desires are coming from. He calls that discernment of spirits. That is to say, you know, the cartoons, right, where they have the devil on the one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. It's not that bad of a description of spiritual reality. God allows us to be tempted by the enemy and have those thoughts and become vessels of the enemy. If we're more in relationship with Satan in our daily lives, we're going to become kind of an evil person over time. That happens to human beings. We all know that from our own experience, and vice versa. We can become godlike. And on the two ends of that, you might see someone on the satanic side as someone like Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin, or maybe somebody who is who lives a very detestable life of crime, and so on and so forth. And then on the opposite side of that, You might see someone like Mother Teresa, complete self-offering gift of love, giving herself to God with everything she has and giving herself to neighbor with everything that she has, picking up people who are smelly, who are dying off the streets of Calcutta in poverty. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. That's a saint. God can do that in us, in various ways. And so we see this in Peter here. First, he is a vessel of God, then he is a vessel of the enemy. Now, the thing that gets Peter is a thing, of course, that gets all of us, and it's kind of really important for us to see, again, how Jesus gives us these dichotomies. What gets Peter is Jesus' revelation about suffering. And that does get us all. Because we as human beings do not like to suffer, obviously. Peter hears Jesus talk about this being the way. You have to pick up your cross. First, he says you have to deny yourself. None of us like to deny ourselves. He says you have to deny yourself, then you have to pick up your cross, and then you follow me. And that's how you'll actually end up saving your life. That's where the glory is. In this relational, self-sacrificial love of me. Whoever wishes to save his life, self-preservation, our greed as human beings, our reluctance to give ourselves, to share ourselves, to constantly give, that person's going to lose their life. Here he's talking about the eternal reality of heaven and hell. Jesus always talks about heaven and hell and the fact that we can go to both. And the reason he talks about hell is the same reason that parents talk about consequences and punishments. It's kind of like a negative reinforcement. Like, it's going to be bad. If you follow through with these series of actions that are against God and against neighbor, this is where it leads. And the reason he talks about heaven is for positive incentives. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. So when we live our lives for ourselves, we lose our lives. Self-oriented lifestyles, self-love. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his own life? What can someone give in exchange for their life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and them will repay all according to their conduct. So, there's many aspects that I could speak about, which I will not, that God calls us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. Sometimes, that might be just the circumstances of life that we have to deal with, the various trials and tribulations that come. That could be physical things that happen to us, a disease, an ailment, and that could be something along those lines. It could be the death of a loved one that we have to deal with. It could be various circumstances in life. Some kind of natural disaster hits us or our family, and it says, why would God do this? Well, God never, ever, ever promised us that we would not suffer. That's not why Jesus came. In fact, that is the kind of Messiah I think that Peter was hoping Jesus to be here, and he's trying to get out of it. He says, no such thing is going to happen to you. You're not going to achieve salvation through any type of suffering. I don't want to indulge in that, Peter says. So that's one form. Jesus doesn't promise that to us. He actually promises us the opposite. But another form of suffering is the fact that we do have to deny ourselves, because there's always going to be, and if we read through the Gospels and we're familiar with the person of Jesus, we're going to find a very disagreeable figure, someone who is not making us feel good all the time. Someone who we battle with in our hearts to a certain extent when we hear him say very hard teachings, as they did back then when they were hearing him speak. And so the point of the church is not necessarily to just, you know, welcome all types of various practices and to compromise our moral teachings or the words of Jesus himself. We're called in the church to follow the Lord side by side, and that may kind of connotate this idea of drudgery, of like, man, that doesn't sound fun. But really, that is not to be the emphasis. The emphasis is actually love. It's relational, it's friendship with Jesus. And we really shouldn't expect to somehow take a different route than Jesus himself did. No disciple is greater than their master, Jesus says. And if Jesus went through what he went through, we should expect to have a very similar trajectory and path. The cross is not the end in itself. It's not what we really want to focus on, and we don't need to pick up new crosses for ourselves, try to find them or try to indulge in suffering or something like that. The end goal is love. It's to be with Jesus forever. It's love of God, and it's to be with the communion of saints forever. And just in the same way that we might think about it as a parent, it probably sounds actually a little bit more normal to think about it with Jesus' words in this context, and this would be helpful to get our imaginations in a place to be able to understand this difficult teaching. Is if I surveyed parents and husbands and wives in here, I bet the vast majority of us would be willing to lay down our lives for our children, for our spouses, without any preparation, and just immediately you as a parent or as a husband or a wife would be ready to do that for your loved one. This is the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to. And this is the glory that Jesus has ready for us, very like his glory. Lord, we ask you to help us to do as you ask here. Help us to not avoid suffering, to compromise your word so that we don't have to suffer. Help us to have courage to forsake this world and making our heaven on this earth, and have faith in the heaven that comes after our death. Help us, Lord, to not make this world the emphasis of our lives. Help us, Lord, to be in communion with you. Help us to have the courage to not be popular, to let go of the pursuit of things that are not important for your sake, Lord, and help us to engage in this long-term thinking, to think about heaven on a regular basis, to think about our lives with you. We ask this all through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's take a few moments in silent prayer just to listen to and speak with the Lord in our hearts.